Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, July 8th, 2013. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, there'll be scoping hearings for the proposed Longview coal terminal in Washington in September and October. The Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry says it's in favor of expanding Medicaid in Idaho. And Washington Liquor Control Board makes three updates to cannabis rules for recreational use. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. Work. The Nez Perce County Sheriff's Office says a prisoner at the Nez Perce County Jail died after being found in his cell after an apparent suicide attempt. The prisoner, 52-year-old Jeffrey Admires, was in the jail until he could be transferred to prison by the Idaho Department of Correction. According to the Sheriff's Department, Admires was found unconscious in his cell by jailers at 1:26 a.m. Saturday. They say deputies administered CPR, and then Lewiston Fire Department medics arrived and took him to St. Joseph Regional Medical Center. The Idaho State Police is conducting an investigation. The president of Idaho's powerhouse lobbying group, the Association of Commerce and Industry, has said expanding Medicaid in Idaho to include low-income residents would save businesses in the state between $12.3 million and $18.5 million per year. The U.S. Supreme Court made compliance with a provision of the 2010 Federal Affordable Care Act that expands Medicaid optional for states, and the Idaho legislature this year decided not to expand the program in the state. Republican Governor C.L. Butch Otter says he wants reforms requiring more patient responsibility before he would favor expanding Medicaid. Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry President Alex LeBeau said over the weekend, "For us, it's a business numbers issue. It's pretty clear from the information and the numbers that Medicaid expansion would save industry a lot of money." LeBeau said the money saved would come from a lowering of penalties for companies that employ more than 50 people but don't offer insurance. Companies pay about $2,000 per year for each uninsured full-time equivalent employee, but if the employees qualify for Medicaid, the company does not have to pay the penalty. Since Idaho has the highest percentage of minimum wage workers in the country, coupled with a low minimum wage of $7.25 per hour, companies in the state have the potential to save a lot of money if the state approves Medicaid expansion. Under Medicaid expansion, the federal government would pay 100% of the medical costs for about 100,000 low-income residents that would join the Medicaid rolls under Medicaid expansion. After 2020, the state would have to pay 10% of those costs. The Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry has presented their report to Governor Otter's office. Otter spokesperson Mark Warbis emailed the Idaho Statesman saying Idaho Health and Welfare Department Director Dick Armstrong is leading a team that is assessing Medicaid issues in the state. Warbis wrote, "It's too soon to draw any conclusions about our path forward." Idaho Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin says Idaho's share in a settlement with the Indian-based pharmaceutical manufacturer Rand Baxy will be $420,000. As a corporation, Rand Baxy pled guilty to 7 felony counts of violating the U.S. Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act by selling products in the U.S. that violated U.S. Food and Drug Administration standards between April 2003 and September 2010. Rand Baxy agreed to pay the federal government and states $250 in civil damages and penalties and another $150 million in criminal fines and forfeitures. Wasdin says about half the money will go to the state general fund and half will go to Idaho Medicaid as restitution. Yellowstone National Park administrators say a Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Commission plan to relax wolf hunting and trapping rules near Yellowstone Park seems to indicate the state wants to kill off some of the park's wolf population. The commission is scheduled to meet Wednesday and vote on proposals to increase the bag limit and lengthen the wolf hunting season in areas just north of the park. However, Montana Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks spokesperson Ron Asheim said today agency staff is recommending a change allowing only one wolf per year per person in areas adjacent to the park, but increasing the bag limit a little further away from the park. Yellowstone chief scientist Dave Halleck said the lower bag limit adjacent to the park is helpful, but not enough. Halleck said, "What we're trying to do is balance the conservation of wolves in Yellowstone, which are not exploited populations right now, with some level of reasonable harvest." Montana Wildlife Commissioners had earlier created a no-kill buffer zone for wolves east and west of the town of Gardner, which serves as the northern entrance to the park, but ranchers sued and a state judge ruled the buffer zone illegal this winter. The Montana legislature then passed a law prohibiting no-hunting buffer zones near Yellowstone. In response to Halleck's scientific complaint, Asheim said, "You can't please everybody. We've gotten 25,000 comments, and you've got to do the thing that's most reasonable." Under the state budget passed in Washington, state general government workers on the job for at least 6 years will get a 2.5% step pay increase this year if they are at the top of their pay range. The raises will affect 17,000 of the 59,000 state workers in that category. However, workers who want to include spouses on their health care plan will have to pay a new $50 monthly surcharge starting in July of next year, and smoking state employees will have to pay a new $25 monthly surcharge also beginning in July 2014. Most state workers will be eligible for a 1% raise in July of next year. The raises mean most workers will be brought back up to 2011 pay levels after they had to take a 3% pay cut and a decrease in work hours last year. Democratic Representative Sam Hunt of Olympia said, "I don't think there is anything to run up the flagpole and say woo-hoo about. I think we are most fortunate to have a state collective bargaining law that provided a shield for our state employees' pay and benefits." Senate Republican leader Mark Schossler of Ritzville said the final result of budget talks among lawmakers last month means the state can still afford to pay for Supreme Court mandated increases in state spending on K-12 education. Washington Public Employees Union President Dave Scheil told the Associated Press he's relieved because sometimes bad things happen at the end of legislative sessions that impact collective bargaining. Scheil said he is relieved, quote, that we got through it and that worse things didn't happen. The Washington Liquor Control Board last week said they will revise regulations for future recreational cannabis grow operations and distributors. One change will be allowing outdoor cannabis growing for the recreational market. Another will be allowing the sale of cannabis concentrates, such as hashish and hash oil, even if they are not included in an edible form of marijuana. The third change announced last week was a decision to not use the state of Washington shape with a marijuana leaf superimposed on it for a logo for official packaging of the new state-regulated recreational cannabis market. The board said allowing outdoor growing will keep the industry's carbon footprint lower than under the previous proposed rule requiring only indoor growing. The board said banning concentrates like hashish and hash oil will only fuel the black market. The board has increasingly made clear they want to replace the black market in recreational marijuana as much as possible. Pricing and variety of products are expected to be important factors in how much the legalized marijuana sales will impact the black market. The Oregon Senate last week approved a plan that would allow the state to license and regulate dispensaries of medical marijuana. Until now, medical cannabis users had to grow their plants or have a person grow them for them if they wanted to stay legal. dispensaries have been tolerated in the Portland and Eugene areas, but have been busted in other parts of the state. House Bill 3460 now goes to Governor John Kitzhaber's desk. Moscow Community Development Director Bill Belknap gave the City Council's Administrative Committee today an update on the city entry beautification project.
Council adopted a goal to develop improvement plans for the beautification of public right-of-way at city entrances by 2014. So we've been kind of working on that project over the course of the last couple months here. The council did allocate some funding for some design professional assistance. That's largely anticipated to be landscape architect services for landscape improvement designs, potentially a little bit of civil engineering if there are some roadway improvements. And so we've been working on that process. We went through an RFQ. We received 7 respondents to that. There were 2 finalists that were selected, and we had a little bit of delay because we had to reschedule. I was going to be on vacation, and some consultants weren't available for interviews at the time. We were looking forward to do it before I left. So those are now scheduled for Wednesday of this week. So those will be conducted on July 10th. Once the selection committee's made a selection, then we'll work on getting a contract here before the council for the council's consideration on August 5th. The contract is not going to be for any lump sum amount. The consultant's not guaranteed any money. It's going to be task order basis. And so we'll have a rate schedule that provides hourly rates for the services that they'll be providing us, and so that we can manage that expenditure in the manner that the council wished to do so. The council, you may recall, authorized about $10,000 in the early preliminary phase of the project and $25,000 for the final kind of design of the selected projects. So we're going to manage that through that process. So they won't be guaranteed any particular sum of money.
Moscow Community Development Director Bill Belknap speaking to the Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee this afternoon. City Council members Wayne Krause and Sue Scott had some comments and questions about the beautification plan, including whether or not it would take into account what route is chosen for U.S. 95 south entrance into the city by the Idaho Transportation Department. Here's Wayne Krause, followed by Bill Belknap, and you'll also hear from City Council member Sue Scott.
Another project gains life of its own and becomes a living, breathing...
Well, luckily, steering committees are temporary, right?
Yeah.
This should be a short-term effort, and hopefully get some consistency.
Doesn't take on the same life as the comprehensive plan did.
Yeah. This will be much more focused, much more narrow. Hopefully gives the council some ideas about how we can improve the aesthetics of the entryways and corridors, and give some cost estimates about what it would take to do some of these
options. And there wouldn't be any, plan was selected, there wouldn't be any funding to do anything about it until fiscal year 15.
Correct. There's no construction funding. This is just to identify areas. They include very general improvements or very specific targeted areas. I mean, the South Couplet's kind of a location where you've got 2 sides that are pretty rough shape right now. You've got the Wren Welcome Garden, but the other corners are pretty rough. I mean, there's going to be some key focal areas where some improvements could help the aesthetics of the community and the entryways. So
is the steering committee going to look at entryways further out, like a flexible plan for where 95 comes in, where it doesn't come in, if it comes in here, if it comes in there?
Well, for the South Corridor, we're probably not going to spend... For detailed review, we'll probably pick up at the Pluse River Drive intersection and carry northward from there. Everything south, I think, at this point in time, until the alignment's known, is really not worth spending a great deal of time until we receive word from ITD and Federal Highways that an alignment has been selected. I think we'll speak and maybe have some general illustrations about some beautification elements we'd like to see ITD consider incorporation. So if it does end up on the eastern alignment, what are some things that could be incorporated? Just some sample concepts of other areas where either down the Boise or the bottom Lewiston grade would have done some improvements of those entryways, and just try to get that on the radar.
Moscow Community Development Director Bill Belknap speaking at the city's administrative committee meeting today. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow. 3 government agencies have scheduled public scoping hearings on the environmental impacts of 1 of 3 planned West Coast coal export terminals. the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the Washington Department of Ecology, and Cowlitz County will take comments in September and October in five Washington cities on whether or not to study the entire train route of the Powder River Basin coal from Montana and Wyoming to the Port of Longview. The Army Corps and Department of Ecology, along with Whatcom County, held hearings on the proposed Gateway Pacific Coal Terminal at Cherry Point, north of Bellingham, last year. Those hearings were attended by thousands. Most of those who spoke at the hearings spoke in favor of full environmental review of the entire rail route the coal would take, but the Corps announced last month its review would be limited to the area immediately around the proposed terminal in northwest Washington's Whatcom County. The nearest hearing on the Longview port will be held Wednesday, September 25th in Spokane, a city which is located along the coal train route from Montana. Another hearing will be held September 17th in Longview, October 2nd in Pasco, October 9th in Vancouver, and October 17th in Tacoma. Idaho Governor C.L. Butch Otter has appointed Robin Woods of Moscow to represent Region 2 on the Idaho Economic Development Council. The seven-member council gives Otter and the Department of Commerce advice on economic development policy and block grants. Woods is the president of Alturas Analytics of Moscow, which does contract research for the pharmaceutical and biotech industries, and a member of the Latah Economic Development Council and the University of Idaho Research Foundation Board. The Idaho Public Utilities Commission voted last week to reject Idaho Power's proposal to raise rates for Southern Idaho Power customers to generate small amounts of extra solar and wind power and return it to the grid. The decision favors 386 small businesses and homeowners who generate power with solar panels or small wind turbines. The Public Utilities Commission released a statement saying, "We advise the company that it would enhance consideration of future program specific changes if it informed and obtained feedback from its customers and other stakeholders before proposing them." On Friday, a Yellowstone County Sheriff deputy shot and killed a Montana State Prison inmate who spent 5 days on the run after escaping July 1st. Police say inmate Dean Randolph Jess was driving a stolen Jeep in Billings, which was pinned in by police vehicles at an intersection in the city's west side. The 42-year-old Jess locked the doors of the Jeep, and during a standoff, police say Jess moved a handgun towards one of the deputies, and the deputy opened fire. Jess was serving a 55-year sentence for a 2004 sex crime conviction and failure to register as a sex offender. It was not clear if Jess fired any shots. King County Judge Arthur R. Chapman set a $2 million bail Friday for a 21-year-old Nevada man arrested in a vehicle with a large number of weapons near the University of Washington campus. Justin Jasper was arrested when he was with a truck full of weapons near the Seattle campus last Wednesday. Dan Donahoe of the King County Prosecutor's Office told the Associated Press Jasper had six firebombs and several guns and knives. In Montana, Butte Silver Bow Undersheriff George Skulatich said a local truck driver returned home from a road trip to find his personal truck and several guns gone, and he suspected Jasper, who had been staying with him at his home in Butte for the previous month. University of Washington Police Chief John Vinson said Jasper had maps to three Seattle-area college campuses in the vehicle with him. Pullman City Planning Director Pete Dickinson says the city has issued permits for about 450 new apartments during the last year and is likely to issue permits for another 338 new apartments soon. Corporate Point Development is almost done building a 181-unit apartment complex called Pimlico on the north side of the city, and Copper Basin Construction is building a 216-unit apartment complex called The Grove on Terre View Drive, which is expected to be completed in the fall. Dickinson told the Daily News permit applications are pending from Dabco Construction to build 188 units and from Corporate Point to add another 150 units at the Grove. Dickinson said, if these new units are approved, and I don't see any reason why they won't be, it would likely make this year the most productive on record for the city in terms of apartments. Jan Cole, who works for Palouse Commercial Real Estate, told the paper the building boom is mainly due to a 0.7% vacancy rate in the city, which is extremely low compared to the normal 5% rate in similar cities. Cole also said the local economy is growing faster than in the rest of the country. The family of Bayview attorney Edgar Steele, who was convicted of hiring a man to murder his wife, has released a video maintaining his innocence. Wife Cindy Steele maintains in the video her husband did not try to kill her and that his attorney has admitted he gave ineffective counsel by failing to arrange for forensic audio expert George Papkin to be in Boise in time for the trial. Papkin had been expected to testify in favor of the defense position that audio tapes of Steele arranging the bombing hit on his wife with hitman-turned-informant Larry Fairfax had been doctored by the FBI. Fairfax said during the trial Steele gave him $10,000 in silver coins as a down payment to kill Cindy Steele and her mother. Fairfax said he placed a bomb underneath the van used by Cindy Steele but arranged for it not to detonate. It was discovered by oil change workers at a shop in Coeur d'Alene, prompting a shutdown of a city street there. Steele's conviction is on appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and Cindy Steele says she wants a new trial for her husband. Steele was sentenced to 50 years in prison and is being held in a federal facility in Victorville, California. She told the Associated Press, maybe I'm more passionate because time is running out for my husband. Edgar Steele is 67 years old. Defense attorney Robert T. McAllister of Denver was disbarred about a month after the trial ended in May 2011 and later pled guilty to counts of financial fraud and bankruptcy fraud. McAllister told the Denver Post that his mental state had deteriorated. The video indicates all three of Steele's children believe he's innocent. Cindy Steele and Steele's neighbor Alan Banks say authorities wanted Steele dead. As a lawyer, Edgar Steele defended several white supremacists in court cases, including Aryan Nations founder Richard Butler in the 2000 lawsuit that ended up bankrupting the white supremacist organization based in Hayden Lake. Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, clear to mostly clear conditions all the way through the weekend. Tonight's low 54, highs this week 88 tomorrow and Wednesday, around 83 Thursday, and around 80 Friday and Saturday. Lows will be 56 Tuesday and Wednesday night, and around 50 degrees Thursday and Friday night. Currently, we have fair skies and 81 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. That'll be on at about 6:30 or 6:40. And after that, we'll have Climate Justice Forum, pre-recorded version tonight. And that's it. Music and entertainment and information throughout the evening here at KRFP Moscow. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs and music shows you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the Radio Free Moscow website, krfp.org, or radiofreemoscow.com to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. And you can also find archived editions of KRFP Evening Reports there. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow.